Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 233, part 1, Fruitful. Today is Friday, February 10th, 2012.
Tonight's message is entitled, Fruitful. Tonight, let's walk in on Deuteronomy 33 and 13. And it goes like this. Joseph is fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over a wall. Whew. That's Genesis 49 and 13, and then we'll go to Deuteronomy 33 and 13. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath. Are you hearing this? Now, we all want converts, don't we? We all want to lead people to the Lord, bring them in. And it's great, I think, to have many saved every day. But I also think we must be concerned about the quality of our converts. I see a lot of them coming in and then sort of sliding away. They get into some great big fantastic thing, or maybe someone will say, now you are a prophet or a teacher or so on, and lay a big trip on them, and so they get so puffed up, then when the pins come, you know, and they just sort of blow away. And we lay heavy scriptures on them. Well, you were the thorny, rocky soil or something like that. But I think they must be allowed seasons to grow in. It doesn't happen overnight. And I think we must not encourage them in any way, shape, or form to skip bearing fruit. And tell them, don't worry about bearing fruit. Let them know something is expected from them, just simply to obey the Lord. And tell them they can't skip the pruning process. And let them know that God is going to prune them. They're going to be sort of miserable. Their little leafy branches are going to be all pruned down. They're going to look all stubby and ugly for a while in their Christian walk. Know that they should skip trials. So many times people don't want to have a trial. Now, in their natural life, they have all kinds of trials. And they just grumble and complain and go on with them in their jobs and their families and so on like that. But it seems when it comes to the spiritual, that people have told them that you don't have to have any kind of trials. There'll be no stormy weather in your life once that you're born again. And that's exactly the opposite of that. Or that they have to have any kind of dry time. The Bible says there will be a dry season. They all must go through spiritual seasons of growth. You know, when they cut into a tree or cut it down, they can tell all the drought years, and they can tell all those hot years by the rains. The Bible says you are the walking, talking epistles known and read of all men. Not a very good story if you just sort of grin, chessy cat grin all the way through. There's no kind of plot, no kind of plan, no kind of excitement, no intrigue, no overcoming. What kind of a book are we? And so I believe we have allowed people to become shallow professors, whose faith then is a surface faith and who have weak, doubtful character. And we have, because I believe a popular worldly preaching produced the claiming crowd. And they just go around claiming everything. Even if it belongs to somebody else, they walk around it seven times and claim it for themselves. Or then we have the commanding crowd, or the speak the word crowd. And that's all they do is speak the word back and forth to each other and sort of knock each other over with it. Or then we have the faith without works crowd. They don't want to do anything. They just want to speak it. Then we have the 900-pound word hogs with no love. They're just full of the word. They never give any out. Or the Sweetwater crowd, or the puffed up, let's call, novice crowd. This is someone that comes into the Lord and they've read 14 or 15 pamphlets, faith pamphlets, and they memorize certain little scriptures, and then they go out and they want to bowl everybody over. And then we have the wandering nomad crowd, and that's people that wander all over and never quite get into anything. They'll be there for a season, but they'll find something that does not line up with their particular little personality, and out the door they'll go. Oh, they're outraged. Whoever told you listening on a radio, that perfect people were in church? The fellow told me, he says, you know, I'm looking for the perfect church. I says, well, when you find it, don't go in there, you'll ruin it. That's true of all of us. Which in the end will leave a whole lot of shallow, weak, hoarse-voiced, foot-weary, dead-faced, lead-in-the-pants, disillusioned, bench-warming misfits. But don't fit into anything because they don't want to get involved in anything. There, I said it and I'm glad. There is a song like that. I said it, what more can I say? I said it, there's no other way. There, I said it again. Now, I find myself many, many times repeating certain things, and I think they bear repeating. Because you see, right now is the time to move on in the Lord and be those walking, talking epistles known and read of all men. And it takes a certain amount of dedication to do that. You will not be popular doing that. And so, yes, we need in the church today those that are thoroughly converted, rich in experience, and fully instructed in the deep things of God. And sometimes that deep thing is just getting it on and doing what God has told you to do. I think we should have as our friends, people who are established by principle rather than moved by passion and by the passion of the moment. And crowds. And the opinions of people. Oh, we're so worried about what people might think. Well, they don't think a whole lot of you anyway. Come right down to it now. Just put that in your bonnet, okay? Well, outside of the love of God, we have no love of our own. Well, it's a manufactured, it's a Father knows best type of thing. It's a rehearsed type of love, but come right down to it. Everybody, when they're outside of Christ, even those that are in Christ, but are sometimes outside of Christ, experientially, can be meaner than hell itself. And I don't say amen, just say ouch. Is that right? But we need those that are established rather by principle rather than moved by passion and crowds and the opinions and, yes, even the judgments of people. And by promises that they never will have to suffer. A lot of times you'll hear parents say, well, I don't want my kids to go through what I did. Why not? Are you that bad? Did you turn out that ignorant? Our Heavenly Father doesn't say that. He says, in this world you will have tribulation. God, I didn't come here to hear this. I need peace in my life. Well, the peace that passes all understanding is being saved. And you can't get unsaved. So that should give you a certain amount of peace. All you that are listening on the radio right now, bear that in mind as I speak. We're not talking about holding on to your salvation. The Bible says you are kept by the power of God. So let's don't worry about that. Let's go on. Stop worrying about staying saved and get others into the kingdom of God. Or that they'll never be ill. No, you never have to have sickness again. You just claim it isn't there. I know I got friends that'll hide if they got a cold or if they had laryngitis or something was wrong with them, and they said, well, they just claimed they'd never have that again, and there they have it, and then they just go hide someplace because it just shows that they had lack of faith like they've been telling everybody else. Or that they'll never have to be broke. Are there any Christians in here that are broke tonight? How many in here are broke tonight? Put your hands way up. Maybe somebody will give you some money. One time we were all praising God. We had our hands up in the air, and a lady came in the back, I guess, and she told me about a week later, she says, well, I was in your church, but I thought somebody was holding it up because you all had your arms up in the air, so I got out of there quick. But then we have this positive parrot crowd. Like a man, he gets shot and he's dying, but he won't confess it. So they put on his tombstone, cause of death, non-confession, a closed mouth. I think we need to pray that God would send to the churches people like Joseph in character. Fruitful trees growing by the well whose branches run over the wall. Outside of the walls of the church even. And so Jacob here describes Joseph as a fruitful offshoot. And then he goes on, he explains his fruitfulness by his position. He is fruitful by the well. So you see, when a vine grows by a well, which is always full, and then when it is able to send its roots down to drink of the unfailing springs of water, it can become fruitful and send forth many branches. That's what it's talking about. And so I hear someone on the radio saying, well, what are you saying? I'm saying get by the well. Or then use our second text to tap the deep that coucheth beneath. If we can reach that secret fountain and say to God with the psalmist, all my fresh springs are in thee. Can't you tell when you're outside of the Lord? Yeah, you can tell when you're outside of the Lord. Man, you look mean when you're outside of the Lord. Well, you are mean when you're outside of the Lord. And so this is where we will find nourishment for our branches. And our fruit will leaf and will never wither or fail, the Bible says. Dwell deep is a word for the Christians of today. Even the world knows that. The world says, get it on. The Bible says, dwell deep. And I think many live now off of the land drainage from the mountaintop experiences of the past. Their spiritual highs, do you remember whens? Well, it might be okay for the pansies and for the daisies. But for the trees of the Lord, I'm talking about the trees of the Lord which bring forth much fruit, they need to penetrate the topsoil. They need to go into a place and penetrate that topsoil and grab a hold and grow in. So many uproot themselves. They don't bite in the corner where they are. They're sort of like those trees in the Wizard of Oz that move around. They need to penetrate, I said, the topsoil and grow down towards the secret fountains of grace. See, we all must have a desire to dwell in Christ Jesus and be in constant fellowship with the Father through the Holy Spirit so then that we may know the truth and be rooted, like the Bible says, by the well. And may drink from the deep that lieth under. Wouldn't this cause us to be grounded and settled by a living, lasting union, and I should say communion with the eternal God? Oh my, We would know the secret of the hidden life if we just stand still long enough. The Bible says, having done all, stand, hallelujah. Having done all, stand and get your roots down in there. And so maybe the devil will come along when you're standing there and you're getting fully rooted and grounded in love, and you're getting grounded in this, and he'll come up and say, you know what, you're not saved. And so you pull your roots up. What? Leave your roots down there. Don't uproot yourself every other day. But wouldn't we know the secret life then if we'd stand? Wouldn't we be filled to overflowing with the fundamental principles and its constraining influences if we just stand there? I remember my mother years ago, she'd say, look at me when I'm talking to you. Don't fidget around. I can't get through to you when you're fidgeting around. Stand still and look at me. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Stand still and look upon me, he's saying. Know of me, he's saying. But wouldn't we drink in such supplies by secret contact with God? And our outward life, wouldn't it be bearing abundant fruit, which would be a testimony that we were joined with heavenly forces? How do you know that someone's joined with heavenly forces? Well, for one thing, they're going to have a lot of trials and testings and tribulations in their lives. Well, that's of the devil. No, that comes from God. Say amen, somebody. Oh, but God doesn't do that. That's the devil. Who do you think is in charge of the devil? Who do you think that the devil has to go to before he can even come to you? The Lord. Say amen, somebody. Remember that God has created evil and good for his own good purpose. Read your Bibles. But anyway, our outward life would bear an abundant, fruitful testimony that we indeed were joined in heaven. So first, let's notice that this describes Joseph's character. And secondly, that in itself it was a great blessing, for Moses used it years later. And then thirdly, it brings with it many other choice favors. So number one, it describes Joseph's character. He grew and was fruitful near to God. Now, how do you get near to God? By being honest. By being perfect? I didn't say that. By being honest. Now, if you get into the Psalms and you read David, wasn't he honest? Did he have a perfect life? No, but he was honest. If he did fall, he fell forward. If he did slide, he slid forward. A guy called me the other day. He says, you know what? I've been backsliding. I also said, all you have to do is slide back. Oh, no. He says, I think I have. Oh, I said, well, if you want to walk on your knees to church for a year, that's all right. Do a penance. It won't prove anything. It certainly won't prove the grace of God. See, the grace of God forgives you right now where you're at. Yeah, but I just don't feel like I'm worthy. No, you're not worthy. Neither am I. Jesus has made you worthy. Jesus, it says, has made you righteous. You have been made righteous. Oh, if we could just get that down. If we could just understand that. That the God of all the universe has made you righteous through the blood of his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it describes Joseph's character, that he grew and was fruitful near to God. He was an offshoot of an old tree. Did you ever have someone say, boy, I sure see your father in you? Anybody here have that happen to you? I have. Your mother will usually tell you that when she's mad at your father or you. But anyway, he was, the Bible says, rooted deep by a well that always watered him. If there's one thing I've learned in this ministry here on the north side, which has had its measure of trials, is it to be planted by a well. To have your roots deep, and so that God can always water you. And so here in this text, we see that in all of his life, he stayed close to God, the Bible says, abiding in him. And so God blessed him greatly. He lived to God, let's say, and was God's servant. He lived with God and was God's child. And also we find that he sought heaven daily for comfort and for guidance. And even when he was in captivity, his branches went over the wall and blessed many nations. I was reading that and I thought about the north side down here and how God has caused it to bless all different parts of the Twin Cities out of this little church down here. And it just sort of tickled me that there is a well. And as we stand here planted by the well, it'll bear much fruit. The Bible says, and you'll never see a dry time. I'm watching on TV and I see, man, this is out of food and they're out of food over here and so on like that. And I thought, now no one can ever say anything about the grace of God and the glory of God. I mean, put it down, because here's a ministry down here with totally no cash, zero zilch funds. With a whole bunch of, by the raising of your hands, broke people. Well, I never. Does that matter? Not at all. Not at all, because you're planted by the well. Now, I'm so excited about what God is doing. I was interviewed the other day by WCCO, did an interview. And he said, well, just exactly what is the secret to all this? I said, well, I really don't know if there's any secret to it all. It's just that God is doing it. Well, I mean, just exactly how does this happen? I said, well, I can't be an expert in it because I don't know. I'm just a dummy and I just happen to be available and I'm here. And the food comes in and I give it away. Well, there must be some kind of formula. No. The formula is being planted by the well. What other explanation is there? It's sort of a Gideon army, don't you see? Now they'll know it's of God. Because there's just a very few people here. Now we'll take all these others out, and we'll take this, and we'll do this. And, you got to know it's of God. Isn't that exciting? Well, don't all cheer at once. Hey. Sometimes I think I'm kind of weird. I get excited over things. I get excited about 500,000 peppers that are down in the basement. Bell peppers. Go down to the store, they're at the cheapest, 3 for 89 cents. Well, get excited. You're broke, aren't you? Take a bag of peppers when you go. Are you hearing this? But over the wall, his branches went. They went all over. His branches were reaching out all over the place. Have you become rooted, you listening on the radio, since you've been saved? Can you say with David then, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Do you expect something out of somebody else? Do you expect something out of somebody else? Don't expect too much out of folks. You always expect something when you do something for them, you expect something back. The Bible says don't do that. Don't look to be paid back. The This is a darling couple up here in front. They happen to be here, and so I'll just use you tonight. Is that all right? Not to embarrass you, but you're handy. Not picking on you, but you're handy. Now, is someone opening gumballs up, or what's going on back there? Pack your lunch? It's a diversion, that rattling of sacks, okay? How much do you expect out of this lovely man here? And how much do you expect out of her? I don't expect too much. Do you expect her to answer the phone in two rings? Now, next time you come, if you do come, you'll sit way in the back. I'm trying to make a point. Don't expect too much out of people, but they'll let you down because God wants them to. Your expectations got to come from the Lord. I'm expecting that so-and-so is going to do this. So many times I've expected people to do something and they just frump out on you. Oh, there's a few that you just know they're going to do the thing. But those are the ones that are rooted by the well. The rest of them are running around with their skirts up, spiritual skirts up, and their roots hanging down. You mention work and they root themselves up and they are gone, gone, gone. Are you hearing this? But have you become rooted since you've been saved? Are you a tree planted, the Bible says, by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season? It goes on, his leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's prospering, but he isn't going. He's rooted by this well. He's rooted by these springs, these rivers of water, the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever he does will be caused to prosper. And so it pays to be rooted near the well. I mean, we can't help but be fruitful if we draw our life from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is no longer me that lives this life, the Bible says, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. Well, that takes a little bit of understanding, and you only get understanding by experiences, and you only get experiences by actually getting involved, and you only get involved by asking, what can I do, Lord? Then it seems like everything breaks loose. Lord, what can I do? I remember years ago, I first come down here, I said, Lord, send me trials. Dump, da dump, dump, dump. 7 years later, Disciples Ministry, 1000 Oliver Avenue North. Are you hearing this? And so it's saying that Joseph lived near to God and drew and retained precious principles. And that's the difference between religious principles and religious passion. I think many people are religious by starts and by fits, according to their company. With one group, they're one way. With another group, they're another way. Yeah. According to their whims. A lot of times, we're fickle. According to our feelings. Let's pray. I don't feel like it. Let's go on the brethren. I don't feel like it. And what do you feel like doing? Pray tell. Is there anything that I could mention that you might feel like doing? No, don't worry. I'm not going to pick on you anymore. You've had your fair share. Is there anything that you really feel like doing? And you know, they'll think and think and think. See, people really don't know what they want. Do you really know what you want? There's a song years ago. Probably Sue will remember it. Not because she's old, but because she used to sing them old standards. Oh, Daddy, I want a diamond ring, a fur coat and everything. Oh, Daddy, I want the very best for me. Lee, lee, lee. Oh, Daddy. Da-da-da-da-da, huh? But did Daddy make her happy? Oh, no. We really don't know what we want. So many times you'll see that with young people. They're 14, 15, 16 years old. They're in that, covering up the zits stage. And they got them homely little hairs that hang out on their face. And they're running to the icebox. And they only weigh about 90 pounds. And they live in the icebox, these young guys. And they see one girl they like. Oh, they're so in love with that one. Then they see another one. They like, oh, I'm so in love with that one. They're in love. They don't know which one they want. You know what I mean? And none of them will have them anyway. Because they're so ugly. But we really don't know what we want. Do you know when you know what you want? When you don't have what you got. A roof over your head, the Bible says. And something to eat and clothes on your back. Be content therewith. I don't know what I want. What do I want in my life? Some guys go to college for 50 years. The last course they take is basket weaving because they don't know what they want. They don't know what they want. They can go through their whole life not knowing. Now, I know what I want. I want more of Jesus. And you know what? Nothing is going to take me away from wanting more of Jesus because he's the only one that's satisfied. And let me tell you, kids, I've been around the horn. I might have been driving a little different kind of car than you do, or you do, or whatever, all you folks. It seems like I'm the oldest living thing there is in here. But there is, the Bible says, nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. And we always think we got something new. It's nothing new. In fact, right now, everybody's trying to copy the 50s that I came out of. They're trying to copy it. Well, if I had the energy, I'd show you what the 50s was all about. Nothing. They had the same problems back then. People did not know what they wanted. You don't know what you want until you don't have what you have. Well, that's what I wanted all along. Don't they say, isn't there a song like this too? Your happiness lies right under your eyes, right in your own backyard. You go to the east, you go to the west, someday you'll come weary at heart, right back where you started from. Right back in your own backyard. Well, this is what I wanted all the time. All I want is more of Jesus. I want to be planted by the well, by the rivers of waters. That's all I want. I've come to that conclusion in my life. Now, you can come to that same conclusion, save yourself a lot of misery. Or you can go looking all over. Well, I don't know what I want. It's like going to the icebox when you have too much. Ham and chicken and roast beef and cheese and lettuces in there, and they got fruit salad in there. Now, don't get hungry and leave on me. Lock all the doors and windows. chicken in there and turkey in there. One guy told me, he says, you know what eternity is? I said, no. He said, I says, I know what it is. What's your definition? He says, eternity is two people and a turkey. I said, well, that's about the dumbest thing I ever heard of. It means it lasts that long. And so you have all this stuff there, see? And you don't know what you want. Isn't that frustrating? You know what to do in that case? Get up in the cupboard, pull down some cornflakes, put it in a bowl, put some milk and some sugar on it, and eat it. And that's all you wanted. What you had when you didn't have anything. Say amen. We have so much, we don't know what we want. Is that true? Some people came from St. Paul. Oh, she called. She says, listen, I hear you got potatoes over there. We really need potatoes. Now, this is the working poor, okay? There are people that are working and they're poor. They can't make it. And you came over with three women, and they were so overjoyed to get 100 pounds apiece of potatoes, they pretty near wept. And you know what? I says, I can tell you people don't have a whole lot. Because you're very appreciative of what you're getting. A bag of potatoes. Wouldn't it be nice if, you're listening on the radio, wouldn't it be nice if you could just jump up and down and get tears in your eyes and everything else over a bag of spuds? Just think how miserable that you are, and you got everything you want, but you don't know what you want. What a dilemma! You're happier with nothing. And so I say, all you really need in your whole life, the essence of all life, is Christ, the well without end. The well that never, he told the woman at the well, that never runs dry. The well of salvation that goes on saving you through the eons of time. Glory! Doesn't that make you happy? Am I crazy or what? Doesn't that make you happy? Or maybe you ain't got the revelation yet. Maybe you're still sitting there saying, well, is that what I really want? I'm telling you, that's what you want. You just don't know it yet, maybe. You're listening out, you don't know it, but that's what you want. Jesus Christ is everything. Well, everything that was made through him. There was nothing made that ever was made that wasn't made through Christ. You were made through him. Oh, how it just pays off to be next to Jesus. Whew. Instead of living in these starts and these fits, according to the influence under which you might come at that particular moment. People become good, bad, or indifferent according to what the climate is. Praise God. I am so glad, glory to God, that I don't have to be that way no more. I fall into it occasionally, but I don't have to stay there. Someone's mad. Someone's upset. Oh my, now what are we ever going to do? Susie, Cusie, or whatever, or Johnny, they are upset, and that just upsets me, and oh my, huh? That doesn't affect you if you're rooted and grounded in love, if you're rooted and grounded by the wells, the streams, the fountain deep underneath, I'm talking about, living there in Christ. Doesn't bother you. So now you're not in that club. I wonder what I want, club. I don't know what I want. Now, at this time of year, everybody's asking one another, What do you want for Christmas? Someone says, all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Huh? And that's the question. That's why it's such a depressing time of the year. You know why? Because people don't know what they want. What do you want? I never got all tied up in that. I used to tell my kids, buy me underclothes. That's what I really need. Now I want a brand new Cadillac, but I'll settle for some Fruit of the Loom, okay? I mean, buy me some underwear. No one ever bought me underwear in the whole time these kids were coming up, no one ever bought me any underwear. Oh, you did buy me some? Praise God for you, Dad. You came through. I'm not kidding you. And if you get to a point where you really know what you really want, someone will try to tell you that isn't what you want. How can you be satisfied with such a seemingly mundane life, Pastor? Why are you down here every day? Well, because that's what I want. I found out what I wanted. Now, you can't possibly just want that for yourself. Take a trip. One guy even paid for a trip for me to get out of town. I said, you want to get rid of me that bad? One group years ago paid for a trip for me to go to Greece because my relatives are all over there. I says, that's swell, but my dad came over here in 1916. I don't speak Greek. What'll I ever do over there? I have no money. They'll think that I'm coming over there with a lot of money. They'll probably kill me if I go over there and don't have anything for them. But the whole problem is, folks, no one knows what they want. And now we brought all these teachings in that confuse people, so now all the more they don't know what they want. Well, what are you going to pray for? Well, by faith, I think I'll pray for it. No, maybe not. No. Let's see, what do I want? And that's where they're at now. Now, they're born again, they still don't know what they want. What do you want? Oh, I don't want you. Oh, good. That's one thing you know. Isn't that the problem with people? They don't know what they want. I just told you what you wanted, what you needed. You don't know if you want to listen to that. Well, but when a man lives in the presence of the Lord, he has fixed principles which rule his heart and guide his life. And he doesn't deviate one point or one degree off of, when he's on with God, off of that point. And he fears God not because others fear God, but because he knows God. You know, again, I have to go back to my parents because they had a big influence on me. I worked with them from 9 years old on. And what I hated the very worst was when I would do something, my dad wouldn't speak. He'd be like he was wounded. He wasn't mean, he wasn't sullen, he wasn't nothing. He just wouldn't say anything. And so, he wouldn't be talking to me, and you know, when God isn't talking to me, I'm pretty miserable.